Hello again, dear friends. It's time for Let's Talk About Jesus. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, inviting you to stay tuned for the next 30 minutes right here on WMAF. You won't want to miss this broadcast today. God is so good, and He has a message that has been preserved for this day. I believe with all of my heart that what we are going to read from the Word of God is going to be relevant to everyone that will stay tuned and listen to this broadcast. If you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, please stay tuned and listen to these wonderful, wonderful promises of God to those who will bow to Him, confess our sins to Him. Friend, don't be afraid of that little word, sin. It's something that we've all committed. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's why this gospel is so absolutely glorious. Amen. We can acknowledge, we can confess our sin, we can repent of our sin, and praise God, we can be forgiven of our sins because of what Jesus did at that old rugged cross. So we want to be right with God so that we can have His blessing, so He can help us through this life and secure us for eternity in the world to come. So you just stay tuned today. We got good things to say. We would like to say this before we go back to our message today concerning true prosperity. We would like to invite you to come to our website. If you have the opportunity, you have a computer, and you would type in a Pastor Robert Venable, V as in Victor, E-N-A-B-L-E. It will bring you to the Holy Church of God website. I've been pastor here, just celebrated recently 36 years of being the pastor of this work in Tampa, Florida. So this broadcast originates in Tampa. It is broadcast to North Florida through WMAF and through streaming from WMAF on computer to anywhere in the United States, anywhere in the world. So wherever you are listening, if you would like to know about our church, you'd like to know about us, you'd like to listen to some sermons or some of the most recent broadcast of Let's Talk About Jesus to catch you up, they are there, free to download, no obligation. You don't have to leave your IP number. You don't have to leave any information about yourself. We'd just be glad for you to come and visit our website, and pray that some of the sermons and topics that you will find there will be a particular blessing to you and to your household. Praise God. And to you in Madison, this is your hometown radio station, and we pray that that we're becoming one of your hometown ministries here, even though we originate in Tampa, because this is a great station. I'm glad to be part of the broadcast family right here on WMAF. You can do some media missionary work without ever leaving your home. You don't have to go to Haiti or Jamaica or South America or Borneo or Africa. You can drop someone a postcard, drop them an email on your computer. You can call them on the phone. You can tell them personally about this broadcast and this station. If they have a computer, all they have to do is type in WMAF, the call letters of this station, home, and they can get the broadcasting that you're hearing right there in Madison anywhere in the world. If they have a computer 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, including this broadcast and other fine ministries right here. So you could invite people to listen and be part of what the Lord is doing right there from your very home. So we're happy to be ministering to the good people of Madison first, and then to the uttermost part of the world right here on this little station in this little town. Praise God. Amen. We love you. We appreciate all of you listening. We're going to be talking about true prosperity and three of the dynamics that we find in the ancient book of Job that will bring God's favor upon our life and bring what I call true prosperity. It's something that transcends just the physical and the material world. In fact, when you get this right, everything else just falls into place. This is a kingdom first principle above all, that when we put God in His kingdom first in our life, Jesus said, all these other things, all of the temporal things that we need, they're not unnecessary things, they're necessary. But He said they will all, the Father knows about it, He'll see to it. He'll take care of all the details of the temporal, material needs of our life if we get those specific spiritual things settled between us and Him. He will father us. Praise God. It won't just be a title that we pray in the Lord's Prayer, our Father. He will father us. And that means He will provide for us everything that we need. But above all, we need these spiritual issues solved, resolved, and settled. Praise God. So that's why we're titled this teaching out of the ancient book of Job, that of course will take us into scriptures in the New Testament as well. True prosperity. And there are three dynamics that we began last week to talk about. Number one is submission, and number two is obedience, and number three is repentance. And then there's all the benefits of following God in these important issues. Let me read this context. It's Job chapter 22, verse 21 through verse 30. Listen to it carefully. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Therefore good shall come unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. Thou shalt lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. For then thou shalt have thy delight in the Almighty, and shalt lift up thy face to God. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee. And thou shalt pay thy vows. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. And the light shall shine upon all thy ways. When men are cast down, then thou shalt say, there is lifting up. And he shall save the humble person. He shall deliver the island of the innocent, and it's delivered by the pureness of thine hands. In other words, God will bless us, and then he will make us a blessing. And friend, that is true prosperity. Praise God. Blessed to be a blessing. I want you to keep that thought in your heart as we continue this study. Blessed to be a blessing. That's why we go after the blessings of God. It's not just a selfish, self-serving reason. We are blessed so that we can be a blessing. And God blesses us for that great purpose. I want to obtain that blessing. I'm going after it. I go after it every day of my life because I want to be blessed and I want to be a blessing to others. I want that true prosperity that doesn't make me or feed my selfishness, but it helps me become even more selfless. Praise God. Not always thinking about how am I going to make it, but how can I help somebody else. Praise the Lord. Submission is the first thing that we talked about, and it's based on this first verse, and I'm just going to read it once more. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto you. In the New International, it reads, submit unto God, be at peace with him. In this way, prosperity will come to you. True spiritual prosperity will come. And as I said, when that comes, and the blessing of the Lord and the favor of the Lord is obtained, and we're spiritually right with him through submitting to him, and that involves our heart bowing before the Lord and the Lord alone, then God is able to bless us with all the other needs and areas of our life. Because now our soul is secure. We've got that great, powerful peace with God. You know, if you don't have peace, nothing you have means very much. You can't enjoy what you have until you have peace. peace with God. But the second thing, beyond that submission and the peace it brings, is obedience. And that's in Job 22:22. It says, "Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart." See, peace comes through submission, blessing through obedience. I want to say that again. Peace, God's peace comes through submission, but blessings come through obedience. James 1, verse 22 through 25 in the New Testament says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." I love this from the Amplified New Testament. Listen to this paraphrase that expands on the Greek and the meanings of the words. "But he who looks carefully into the faultless law, the law of liberty, and is faithful to it, and perseveres in looking into it, being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys, he shall be blessed in his doing, his life of obedience." You know, some people look at the Word of God and they see something that is going to hem them in and confine them. And it is going to give us some things that we should do, and it's going to be very clear on things that we should not do. But it's going to be a liberating law. I love it when God's Word that's looked at as something that's going to put us in a religious box is presented as it truly is, something that liberates us and sets us free. You say, "Pastor, what am I going to be set free from?" Well, number one, you're going to be set free from sin and its terrible sway in your life. And number two, you're going to be set free from Satan's wedge into your life. Praise God. Amen. The Word of God obeyed is going to keep the enemy at a distance. Praise the Lord. And number three, it's going to deliver you from that prison of want, that self-serving life, that everything revolves around our selfish desires rather than our desire to please and obey God. We're set free from sin, we're set free from sin's sway, we're set free from Satan's power, and we're set free from the selfishness of our flesh. Praise God. Amen. This Bible received, submitted to, and then put into practice in our life, the Word of Almighty God, is called the perfect law of liberty. And that freedom comes when we commit our hearts to obey. I'm going to tell you something about obedience. No one's going to get it perfect. And I don't even believe God is looking for perfection, because He knows we can't render it. But He's looking for a heart attitude that's willing to begin to apply what we know His Word tells us we should be and do to our own personal circumstance. I'll tell you, the Holy Ghost will go to work on you. The Holy Ghost will go to work on me. I was telling someone the other day that God gets out a sandpaper and He begins to take off the rough edges of our life when we submit to Him and commit in our heart to obey Him. When He sees that attitude of heart, He's going to come alongside. He's going to work with us. Praise God. Amen. And He's going to begin that great liberating work where Satan doesn't have the last word anymore, where God has the last word, where our own flesh is crucified, is committed to death for the sake of the gospel, that our spirit might carry out the will of God. In other words, we don't live the rest of our life to the will of the flesh, but we live it out to the will of God. And friend, if you think that's a box, you should be where I am in my walk with God. There's no joy. I've been where you are if you're locked into sin and its consequences, and that's not a good place to be. Sin satisfies only for a season, but this living water that Jesus has to give, this is entirely different. I love the Lord, and I love to be challenged by the Word to serve Him and obey Him. Do I struggle with it? You bet. Every single day of my life. Paul put it this way. He said, I buffet my body and I bring it into subjection. My flesh don't always go along with what I know that God wills, but I have a heart to obey. And God sees that. And if we will submit ourselves unto the Lord and obtain that peace, that tension between our will and God's will is gone because we acquiesce, we bow to Him, and then we commit ourselves to obey. I'm telling you, submission brings peace with God and the peace of God, and obedience brings blessing. Hallelujah. God blesses, and He doesn't bless because we get it perfect all the time. He blesses because we have a heart to obey. Praise the Lord. Amen. I love what Andrew Bonar says, and it's the majesty of the lawgiver. And he said it's not the importance of the thing, but the majesty of the lawgiver that is to be the standard of obedience. Some indeed might reckon such minute and arbitrary rules as these sometimes to be trifling. But the principle involved in obedience or disobedience was none other than the same principle which was tried in Eden at the foot of the forbidden tree. It really is this: is the Lord to be obeyed in all things whatsoever He commands? Is He a holy lawgiver? Are His creatures bound to give implicit assent to His will? Praise God. Amen. This is a quote from Andrew Bonar referring to the laws found in Leviticus, and it's from The Pursuit of Holiness. Oh, I pray that something that we speak today will cause God's children to pursue holiness in our life. That's nothing more than a life of obedience. Hallelujah. It's more becoming subservient to the Lord than it is just being separate from the world alone. It is becoming subservient in our heart. Holiness is not just not doing the things that has been called sin that the world does all the time around us. It is doing what the Lord asks of us. And actually, it's not just doing, it's being what we are called to be. Praise God. Holy Spirit was not just given for us to do things with, but it's given so that we can become what God has called us to be. Praise the Lord. Amen. Love for the Master is the basis for all obedience. You know, the New Testament teaches that if a man love me, he will keep my commandments, and they won't be grievous unto him. If we love God, we'll keep His commandments, and they won't be grievous. In other words, we won't look like that it's sapping all of the joy of living out of us to serve our Master. Actually, we find joy in serving Him. We find our delight in Him. The Old Testament says, delight thyself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. You know why? Because the heart's desires change when we are delighted in the Lord. You know, I don't know if any of you have ever been in love, but I certainly have. We're getting ready in the not-too-distant future to celebrate 47 years of marriage. And I remember when I fell in love with my Pamela. And you know, I didn't get up on a Saturday. We were both still in school. I didn't get up and think, you know, what am I going to go fishing today? Or am I going to just get on my motorcycle and go for a long ride by myself and do my thing? The first thought that come in my mind, because when I fell in love with my wife to be. I wanted to be with her, and I wanted to please her. So my desire was to find out what she would like to do, and let's do it together. Wouldn't that be great to really fall in love with the one that saved us, enough that our desire, our delight is in Him, and therefore our desire is to please Him? And that brings us into a life of obedience where we don't feel like we're missing something. We don't feel... Listen, when you fall in love, being with the person you love and enjoying things together is the greatest delight you could have. There's nothing you could do by yourself that could match what you do together. Praise God. That's how real love works. And that's how God wants to bring us into a life of obedience. It's not by threatening us with judgments. Surely He chastens His children for disobedience, but He doesn't want our obedience just based on the fear of His discipline. He wants to capture our hearts and captivate our minds. Praise the Lord. He wants us to love Him back for loving us enough to go to the cross for us and suffer and die for us. And to love Him back to the degree that we delight ourselves in the Lord. And He said, when that happens, your desires and my will match perfectly. They will synchronize perfectly together. And I will give you the desires of your heart, because your desires for my will be so above your desire for your own way that you will bow to me. When any conflict between wills come, you will acquiesce to my will. And you'll do it with joy, not just like it's some kind of job that you hate. Oh, I love to see people serving God because they love Him. Coming into obedience because they love Him. And the promise of answered prayer and blessing is here. Because if you delight yourself in the Lord, the Bible said He would give you the desires of your heart. Because your desire and His will are now one. Praise God. I used to tell Pamela, where you want to eat? I said, wherever you want to eat. I said, I want to eat where you want to eat. Where you want to go? Well, where you want to go? That was a big argument. I wanted to find out what the person that I love with all of my heart, what would please her, and do that very thing. Because I came to the place of love where pleasing her was pleasing me. It gave me pleasure to see her enjoy something that I could give her or I could do with her. Praise God. I know I'm talking mushy talk, and we don't hear a lot of mushy talk around church these days. We need a little more mushy talk in the pulpit and from the pew. We need to fall in love with this great Savior of ours. He is so worthy of our obedience, so worthy of the commitment, the deep commitments that we need to make. I want to read you something that Archibald Rutledge wrote. He said he met a man whose dog had just been killed in a forest fire. Heartbroken, the man explained to Rutledge how it happened. Because he worked out of doors, he often took his dog with him. That morning, he left the animal in a clearing and gave him a command to stay and watch his lunch bucket while he went into the forest. His faithful friend understood, for that's exactly what he did. Then a fire started in the woods, and soon the blaze spread to the very spot where the dog had been left. Now remember, the dog isn't leashed, the dog isn't chained, but the dog loved his master, and the last thing his master had said unto him was, "Stay and watch my lunchbox. You stay." The blaze came to the spot where the dog had been left, but he didn't move. He stayed right where he was, in perfect obedience to his master's word. When the man came back, he found a charred lunchbox as a fast-moving forest fire had swept over that little clearing area, and he found the charred remains of his faithful friend laying obediently beside the lunchbox that he was told to stay and guard. With tearful eyes, the dog's owner said, "I always had to be careful what I told him to do, because I knew he would do it." Friend, that is obedience born out of love. It's a different kind of obedience than that is fear-driven. Oh, how the Lord wants us to fall in love with Him and serve Him faithfully because we love Him with all of our heart. Every Christian, or new Christian for that matter, will be brought to a crisis of obedience, a valley of decision. Someone wrote something called The Old Choice, and it reads like this: it is the old choice which still is presented to every soul, the old crisis which reappears in every experience, Caesar or Christ, that is the question. The vast, attractive, skeptical world with its pleasures and ambitions and its prodigal promise, or the meek, majestic, and winning figure of Him who is called Jesus of Nazareth. The election remains for each of us, and the moment of the election in the shaded and solemn valley of decision will be memorable in our history when the sums for us has ceased to shine. Listen, it is so important to develop a life of submission that brings peace and obedience that brings blessing, that actually liberates and sets us free from self, from Satan, and from sin. Does that mean we can be sinlessly perfect? No. Does that mean that we can live in absolute perfect obedience, never needing to repent or get up and go at it again? No, it doesn't mean that. But it does mean in our heart there is no argument about who is going to be the Lord of our life. In our heart, where God can look and see the intent of the heart, even though we are going to all struggle with our weak flesh. In our heart, have you heard the term, the spirit is indeed willing? It's actually the scripture, but the flesh is weak. God knows our flesh is weak, so He's not looking for perfect obedience. He's looking for a perfect willingness to obey. There's a difference in the willingness of the heart and how we walk it out in our life. Sometimes we struggle with issues. Sometimes we stumble and have to get up and repent. But if God sees the willingness in our spirit, all of heaven's mercies, grace, strength, and resources will line up for us to follow His word and achieve His will and purpose. God honors obedience, friend, because obedience honors God. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, as we close today, I want to ask you a personal question. Have you stayed away from Jesus if you don't know Him because you felt like, "I can't live the life. I could never become a truly obedient child of God. I'm not going to play the hypocrite if I've seen some other people do. And I'm just not even going to go to church and act like I'm something that I'm not." Please don't let the sense of your own weakness and inabilities and your own honest heart keep you from coming to know Christ as your Savior. Oh, settle it in your heart that you want Jesus to be your King and your Savior, your Lord and your Master. When He sees that heart door swing open to Him, you know what He promised? "I will come in." And He said He would sup with you and you would sup with Him in Revelation chapter 2. "I will come in. If any man open the door, hear my voice when I knock and open the door, I will come in and I will sup with him and him with me." And in that intimacy of love and fellowship, the heart begins to take its delight, not in sin, not in self, but in Jesus. And then that life of obedience just follows, and we delight ourselves in the Lord, and He gives us the desires of our heart. And He gives us freedom to serve the living and true God, and we find joy in it. Hey, Christian, if you're struggling with the flesh, just get closer to God. Take more time to worship Him. Read His Word like a love letter that it is, and find your delight in Him. Oh, we love you today. Would you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus and learn more about true prosperity.